Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Abiyah, in the name of thy son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King. Abba, I ask that you forgive me for all my sins, Abba, that I committed knowingly and unknowingly, Abba. I ask that you forgive me for all the pitfalls that I fell in, all the mistakes that I've made, and all the evil thoughts and the evil inclinations that I had during the week, Abba. I ask that you forgive me. I ask, Abba, that you cleanse my heart by your son, Yahushua HaMashiach. And I ask, Abba, that you hear my prayer. Abba, thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for allowing me to see another day. Thank you for allowing me to see another Shabbat. Thank you for setting this time apart for us, Abba. It's time for me and my brothers, my sisters to come and commune with you, Abba, to sup with you this day that you blessed, that you put your presence in, Abba. Thank you. Abba, I ask that you open my mind up to your word, open my heart up to your word, that you fill me up, that I may dispense your word to Yisrael. Put your word within me, Abba, and make me see what you want me to see. Break it down within my mind so I can make it in an understandable form that the children know. Abba, thank you for continuing to heal me, continue to heal our Ema, continue to heal Sister Chomi, our Sister Chomi, our Sister Danielle, Brother Shafut, all of Yisrael, our Brother Yaka El, our Brother Sheba El, anybody that is hurting physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, Abba, thank you for being on task and healing us, Abba, constantly. Abba, we ask that you continue to grow us, lead us, and guide us within your word and through your word, that we may make it to the end. When we are weak, Abba, strengthen us. When we are lacking, Abba, bring us up, supply us. Give us that understanding, Abba. Above all things, as your words say, get understanding. Abba, we just thank you for this time again, once again. We thank you for the protections that you have given us throughout the week. We thank you for family and friends and the good times and the bad times, Abba. Those teachable moments. Abba, we just thank you for all that you do for us on a constant basis. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has chosen good prophets and was pleased with the words that were uttered with truth. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who chooses the Torah, Moshe his servant, Yisrael his nation, and the prophets of truth and righteousness. Amen. Shabbat shalom, family. This is your brother, Deuel, at Bet Yahweh Congregation. Excuse me, in Baltimore, Maryland. This is Magnify Torah, make it honorable, by way of Kol Elohim. And this is week two of my six week series. And Toda Aki, that sounds good. So don't have to ask that question, Abba. Again, on task. And today's topic is Abba believes in you. So I was watching something on YouTube. And again, this goes back to parenting. You know, the whole point of parenting is, one, so your child can survive within this world. You give him or her the skills to survive. All right? Another reason for parenting is to strengthen that child. Again, part of their survival is the strengthening and conditioning of that child, all right? Physically and mentally, but more importantly, mentally. So I was watching this this clip on YouTube, and it was a father and a son, and they was doing this ice bath, you know, where it was a big metal tub, and they filled it with ice, and they filled it with water, you know. Now, this is supposedly good for, it provides health benefits and this, that, and another. But more importantly, what it is to strengthen you mentally, to show that your mind, this, all these things that our body goes through can be controlled if we learn to control our thoughts. So it was a father and a son, and they in this big tub together full of ice. And the son is not used to this. You know, this is part of his conditioning. This is part of his training. And he's not used to this. He's not conditioned like the father is. The father is constantly encouraging his son. Son, because his son want to get out. That cold, boy, that cold get to you. And, you know, anybody who knows, who ever been in a swimming pool or anything like that, what they used to do, I don't know if they still do it now. But, you know, growing up, going to Clifton Pool and, you know, the public pools, Clifton Pool and Cold Spring Park Pool, the dirty pools, as we call them here in Baltimore. One of the things that they would do is before you could get in that pool, you had to go through a cold shower to knock that shock off you. So because when your body hits that pool, you don't want it to freeze up. You don't want it to your body to go into shock and then you drown. Right? So before you go into that pool, you had to go through a cold shower. Right? To acclimate your body to the condition of the pool. So, anybody who ever went to that cold shower, you know, your body, you jump, you know, it shocks you. Now, can you imagine doing that for umpteen minutes, for a set amount of time? Because the whole thing is you have to sit in this pool and you can't get up. You have to do this in a set amount of time, for a set amount of time. And it's ice and it's water and you freezing and you not used to this, right? So he's in there with his father and he just wants to get out. He's like, I can't do it, Dad. I can't do it. And his father is constantly saying, son, you can do it. You my son. Look at me. It's a mental thing. It's all mental. And it's plenty of times that the son got up and sat back down. He got up and sat back down. And the father is saying, believe in me. Do what I'm doing. Pay attention. Look at me. Come on. You strong, son. You strong. You strong. You can do it. And he's constantly encouraging. I got you. Do you think I'm going to let you fail? You know, so he's constantly encouraging his son. And the first time the son getting up, no, Dad, I can't do it. I can't do it. And eventually the son gets up and he gets out the pool. And the father is calling for him, son, 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 no, no. It's all a mental thing, right? But he couldn't handle it. He couldn't handle it. But the father knew that his son could handle it. The father believed that his son could handle it. He wouldn't put him in a situation that he could not handle. Because if you put him in a situation that he can't handle now, how is he going to survive? But he also has to put him in situations that are hard and challenging for him. So the son can understand his strength. So the son can understand, look, man, look, One day I'm gonna have to let your hand go. One day it's gonna be, you're gonna be in this gridiron lock battle where you're one on one with your adversary. One on one. And I need to prepare you for that. And if you are weak, you will lose. So I need to strengthen you. And it's not going to be easy. Getting a child stronger. Getting in any preparation for any type of battle is grueling. Right? It's not for the faint of heart. You cannot be, you cannot go in with that defeated attitude. Even when times get tough, even when things get, and you say you can't do it. But Abba knows that you can. Right? So it's a cut scene. I don't know if the, I'm pretty sure that the father encouraged him and back in, you know, I'm talking back about this thing I saw on YouTube, right? But it cuts away and it comes back on after the boy gets out, after the son gets out. It cuts away and the boy is back in there on his own. He's not in there with his father. He's doing it by himself. And his father's on the outside and he's encouraging him, still encouraging him. You know, but I don't know if it was the same day. I don't know if it was. All I know is that the son succeeded the second time. And he was counting down for him, you know, 10, 9, 8, et cetera, et cetera. And he did it. He accomplished what the father wanted him to accomplish. What the father knew he could accomplish from the beginning, but he had to find that strength within himself. But we can't find that strength within ourselves if we never go through any adversity. It's a song called The Devil's Throne by Junior Delgado. I think that's his name. But one of the verses of the line is, the rougher the battle, the sweeter the victory. And then he say, victory is mine. See, because he's willing to go through the rough battles to claim that sweet victory. And that's what Abba is doing with all of Israel. Why? He's building his army. And think about what, and think, let's go to here, let's go here. All right. Let's go here, let me find this. All right, this is in Matthew chapter 8, Matthew chapter 8, and we're going to say, we're going to start from verse 1. Well, yeah, let's just start from verse 1. Matthew chapter 8, starting at verse 1, it says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Master, if thou you will, thou can make me clean. And Yahushua put his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was clean, was cleansed. And Yahushua saith unto him, See See, you tell no man, but go the way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Sidebar. This was still in effect. Yahushua said, look, it's my will that you be cleansed, but make sure you show Moses his respect. Offer the priest what Moses commanded. So you do what Moses said. Excuse me. You do what Moses said do. Sidebar. Verse 5. He says, and when Yahushua was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. And this is the part that we want to get to, right? About this arm. And when Yahushua was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Master, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Yahushua says unto him, I will come and heal him. I'm on my way. I'm coming to heal him. That's what Yahushua's words was to this centurion, a man outside of Israel. Right? He says, the centurion answered and said, Master, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Verse 9. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. So you ain't got to come. I understand authority. I understand how you work, how you prosper. Why? Because I got people, one, I got people that I serve, and then I got people that serve me. So when I tell the ones under me to go and come, they do it. I don't have to be there for them. I don't go and grab them and pull them in this. No, I tell them to come, they come. I tell them to go, they go. The same way with the people that I serve. They tell me to come, I come. They tell me to go, I go. So I get it. And with that being said, that's why he has to strengthen us, because it's going to come a time when I would say, go, and we have to go. Or he say, come, and we have to come. But we have to be strong enough to make the trip. That's what all the training is for. Right? Because he's not going to tell us to come if we can't make it. He told us within the word that our lives are going to be in danger. He said that we are going to be a prey. But if we hold on to him, we'll make it. That's what he said. We'll be a prey. We're going to be stalked. We're going to be under the fire. But hold on to your training. Be mentally prepared. Hold on to your training, and you'll make it. Right? Verse 10, he says, when Yahushua heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. So if you need the example of faith, I but just gave you an example of faith. Right? Remember what, excuse me, got some phlegm up in me. That's okay. Remember what Hebrews defined faith as, right? And now here's an example of it. You hear that word, you obey. You don't have to come grab you by the hand and move you in respect. No, you hear that word, you obey. That's what faith is. All right? And if you want to, we just want to make that point. See, because we have to strengthen and continue to read the rest of the chapter and get leisure. Nice chapter, as always. You know, the word always has something to provide. All right? Provide for us and our strengthening and our training. Right? But it's going to come a time when Abba got to let our hands go. It's going to come a time when he's going to ask us that question, the same question that he asked Moses. Moses screaming out for Abba, Abba, Abba. Moses, what's the matter? The Egyptians coming. They doing this. They're going to catch us, and I don't know what to do. Moses, why are you asking me this, Moses? Why are you panicking? What you tripping for? Take your rod, split the water, and walk across on dry land. Do that, Moses. You know, because when you look at the interaction, I'll be like, why are you calling me? Same thing with Eliab. Eliab, oh, Abba, 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 Abba. Yeah, what's up, Eliab? They're coming to get me. They said they're going to murder me. I was very zealous for you, and I'm the last one left. Eliab, what you want from me? You ain't hear me. They trying to take my life. Oh, okay. All right. Look. Listen for my voice. Hurricane go off, earthquake, volcanoes, all this, rushing winds and all that, this, that, and another. And he was strong enough and mentally strong to, I ain't there. Okay, hey, look, oh, there you go, Abba. That small, still voice. And I would say, if you can do that, what you want from me? You hear me? I'm the last one, Abba. I'm the last one. I'm the only one left, so don't let them take my life, because, you know, if they kill me, ain't going to be no one. Look, don't even trip about that. Got 7,000. They ain't bowed the knee to bow. But since you're thinking that, let's find you a succession. You go see Elisha. You go see him, and you name him your successor. I can see this, you know, this thing took a toll on you. Besides, I got other stuff for you to do. So, again, Abba believes in us. Now, open scripture, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. I hope everybody had a great week. And if you didn't, it's the Shabbat. Burdens down. Bask in Abba's glory. If you didn't smile all week, smile right now. Because we made it to Shabbat. All right? First Peter chapter 2, verse 9, it says, but you are a chosen generation. We was hand-picked, as my brother always loved to remind us. And that's the thing. We can't lose sight of that. Abba hand-picked his people. I know your strength. I know you. I know what you're capable of. And I just need a little adversity to show you what you're capable of. He says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation. Kill your people, that you should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Your hand picked. That's why we go through this stuff. We're handpicked. That's why the adversities are so hard. We're handpicked. You know, my brother talk about he tired. He'd get tired. Yeah, you're tired. You're handpicked to go through these adversities, but you're strong enough to make it through. You handpicked. We all have our woe is me moments. Lord knows I didn't have mine. Didn't have mine. You know, I talked to my brother Harbell about those woe is me moments, and we laugh. You know, we laugh about it. And it can laugh now because I'm looking back. Wow. Abaddon really strengthened me. Look back at those times when you were weak. When you, in your mind, thought you couldn't handle it. And I'll be like, see, look at you. Look what you made it through. Look what happens when you believe. Look what happens when you have faith. Look what happens when you stick to the plan. Yeah, you did a little crying. You did a bunch of crying. Excuse me. You did a bunch of crying. You did a lot of woe is me. But look at you now. You're getting stronger, and that's part of the plan. Now, you ready for the next one? Oh, no. Good. Well, hey, I need you to be stronger. Why? You got a boss battle coming up. You got the last dude, and if you're not prepared for the last dude, you're not going to win. Because the last dude is going to pull out all the stops. You think this dude that you fought with, this last one, he's 100 times more stronger than this dude that you crying over. Infinitely stronger. So I got to prepare you for that. But I picked you because I know you can do it. Book of John on Yohanan, chapter 14, verse 12. Yohanan 14, 12. And again, this on the heels of that chosen generation, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. So if we believe in Yahushua, because this is Yahushua talking, whatever he accomplished, we can accomplish too. Those works, we can do also. Right? But then he keeps on talking. He says, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So, believing on Yahushua, you are granted the ability to do the works that he's done. Right? But then when he ascended to the Father, he gave us another ability to do greater works. So what's stopping us from doing those works? What's stopping us? Because he believes that we can do it. If he didn't believe it, he wouldn't have said it. If he didn't give us the ability to do it, he wouldn't have said it. But there is a hindrance from these works being done. And we all know what it is. It's doubt. Lack of faith. Everything that he always admonished his students for. Oh, ye of little faith, why didn't you believe? Oh, ye of little faith, why didn't you believe? Why did you doubt? We know what it is. But it has to come a time when the doubt stops. Not for Yahushua's sake, but for our sake. They can't touch our master. Those demons, those things that plague us, can't touch our master. But they plague us. Why? We allow it to. We allow it to beat us down. We allow it. We can't muster up the strength. Because our carnality and our natural weak state, we get into that. And that's the thing. Our mind, he deceives us. This has been a really trying week for me, y'all. Really trying. But Abba took this week and gave me some real hard lessons. But they were teachable moments. And sometimes we gotta take that gut punch. That one that knocks all the wind out you. And get up from it. And do it again. Go again. My brother Yakael used to use the example of the movie Kickboxer, when he was kicking the tree and kicking the tree and kicking the tree. And at first he couldn't do it, but after a while he could kick the tree down because his body acclimated to kicking that tree. His bones hardened. And he believed he could do it. He got angry, but he believed he could do it. And his body acclimated to it. It responded. So when we have faith and we use that faith, our body responds. And we, man, like I said, our body responds. As a man thinketh, so shall he be. Starts from one, ends up on the other one. I'm trying not to go into what we're going to be talking about later, but it's all one. It's just one big, it's one thought. It's his thoughts. And again, like I said, teachable moments. Because I'm not telling you something that that I have to guess. I'm telling you something that I know, and I know my father believes in me, and I know how weak I am sometimes, but I'm trying. I'm trying, and I'm learning. It's a hard, hard process, but I'm learning, and I'm going to make it to the end. Now, I want y'all to make it to the end with me. I'm seeing that kingdom. And I want y'all to see it with me. But we cannot make it in a weak state. And as long as we keep on saying that we're weak and doing these weak things and following weak practices and not growing up and not becoming stronger in our master, we will continue to fail. So we have to break out of it. We have to. That's what we have to do. So he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." All right? He says, and, excuse me, next verse, the book of Mark, chapter 16, verses 15 through 17. He says, Mark 16, 15 through 17, and he says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be sentenced." It says damned, but, you know, I said it anyway. But shall be sentenced. All right, it says, verse 17, it says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues." So that's one of the signs that Yahushua talking. One of the signs that shall follow them that believe in him is that in his name, you'll be able to cast out devils. And don't think about casting out devils on other people. Those demons that's plaguing you. What about those spirits, you know, that my brother always talking about, those unclean spirits that have attached onto us? Cast them out. If he would not have said it, if we could not do it. But again, as long as we keep on saying these things are holding on to us, these things are holding on to us, these things are holding on to us, they're going to hold on to us. It has to come a time where we say, "Get off me," in the name of Yahushua HaMashiach. It has to come a time for that. It has to come a time where we start swinging back. We can't take, when we stop getting punched, when we stop being the punching bag, and when we stop being the punching bag, and we start swinging back. It has to come a time. He says, also, they shall speak with new tongues. Our speech shall also change. That hard speech that we have has to change. Why does the speech have to change? Because our thinking changed when we believe on him. It talks about how a wise man and a fool are known by their words. That's what it's in the book of Proverbs somewhere, I believe. I will find it for you. Excuse me. But because the wise man has wisdom, and he understand, we understand what our wisdom is. Our wisdom is his word. Our wisdom is his Torah. And because we speak that, and we keep that on our mind, our speech, our the way we speak changes. One thing my brother used to talk about, my brother Ariel, talk about always the way brothers cussing. You know, but that's a worldly thing, and this, that, and another. And you're right. If that's a worldly thing, and that's a pattern of the world, we ought not be doing that if we who believe. That's something that we ought to work on. And I'm guilty of it because sometimes my mouth is filthy. My mouth is filthy. But again, that's because I'm not invoking the power of Yahushua at that time. You know, I understand, and me personally, again, this is me personally. Sometimes a curse word is used to emphasize something. I understand that. You know, sometimes you want to put that emphasis on something. So I understand that. But cursing just to be cursing, you can't find a better word. You know, every other word is this, that, and another. That's something totally different. You know, our speech and our tongue have to change. Right. The book of Acts, chapter 19. The book of Acts, chapter 19, verses 13 through 16. Chapter 19, verse 13. It reads, "Then certain of the vagabond of Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits, the name of the Master Yahushua, saying, We adjure you by Yahushua, whom Paul preaches." So these exorcists, they're trying to cast out some demons, and they saw what Paul was doing. Those demons heard the name of Yahushua, and they bounced. The exorcist saw that. They said, "Oh, that's all you got to do? Well, shoot. Let's go find some people possessed and give it a try." They found some possessed people. "Get out by the name of Yahushua, who Paul preached." So what was the response? Verse 14. "And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and a chief of the priests, which did so." So these were people, these were influential folks, right? Seven boys that witnessed this, and seven of them did this. Verse 15, here's the response. "And the evil spirit answered and said, Yahushua, I know, and Paul, I know, or Shaul, I know. But who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was, whom the evil spirit was, leaped on them." One man with an evil spirit leaped on seven people and overcame them. He beat up seven folk and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded, beat, ripped the clothes off of them. But he say, "Bust his head to the white meat." That's what happened to him. They left there naked and wounded. Why? They ain't know Yahushua. See, but when Paul did it, and again, why is that important? There was a separation between Yahushua and Paul. Yahushua, yeah, we know him. You know we know him. But Paul's not holding Yahushua's hand anymore. We know him too. We're not trying to deal with neither one of them. Because Paul is a... Think of David's mighty men and how he named those mighty men. Within the word, he names those mighty men. And it talks about the great feat of these mighty men. That David handpicked. And it talks about all these other feats that these men did outside of the mighty men. But it's also, whoa, who's this? Excuse me.
Sorry, fam. Sorry about that. Try and week. Okay.
Mighty man. All right. David handpicked those mighty men. And we read about their feats, what they can accomplish. This is no different. You know, and then outside of the mighty men, he was talking about individuals and their accomplishments within the Todaki, Toda. I tell you, boy.
Y'all just don't know, man. First thing was, see, but Abba got a way of doing things. I asked Abba to not allow me to be distracted.
You know, because, you know, you got the AFRAM going on today. We can't go to the park. Nice day outside and everything. My next door neighbors, they was rocking over there. I don't know if y'all heard it. Y'all heard it, but they was playing all this music and this, that, and that. But I'm like, oh, boy, it's going to be a trying time. Trying time. So I prayed to Abba. I said, Abba, don't allow them to distract me. And he said to me, you don't allow them to distract me. What you asking me for? And that's why I say, I ain't got the ball, no testimony or nothing like that. We live it. These things that we go through, we have to go through them. And he teaches us on a daily basis, even on Shabbat. And I'm laughing because it's hilarious. But it's a teachable moment, even on Shabbat. You know? And I'm not laying I laid my burdens down. I'm not burdened or anything like that, y'all. See, but it's good to know. And it might not be like that for you, but I know what he do with me. And I know how he deal with me. I can see it in this. It's getting better. You know, we got a lot to talk about and everything. And it's a lot of lessons that Abba been gave me this week, you know. But, again, I'm sorry. Back to, again, these things was listed about these mighty men and all their feats and what they did. But, again, David handpicked them, right? And so it's no different. We're handpicked to accomplish things. Now, he said, I set some to be preachers. I set some to be teachers. I set some to prophesy and et cetera, et cetera. So the thing that he set you to do, do it. Learn it to your best, but expect the adversity to come. If you are an interpreter of dreams, expect you to interpret a dream wrong. It don't make you a false prophet. It don't make you, no, it happened. Hey, Otto, that dream was wrong, or that interpretation was wrong. Where did I go wrong? He even had to correct Nathan within his word because he spoke too fast. When David wanted to build that house, build the house of Yahweh, hey, you the king, do what you want to do. That's what Nathan said. Hey, Nathan, excuse me, sir, I need you to go back then and tell David that he got blood on his hands. He can't build my house. Tell him, thank you for thinking about me. And I love him for that. I love him, love the fact that he's always thinking about me. But he got blood on his hands and he can't build my house. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have his son build it. What you mean, Abba, I messed up? Yeah. You talked a little too quick. So I'm going to need you to go in there and correct that. So is Nathan a false prophet because he spoke a little too quick? No, Abba corrected him, and he had him to correct himself. Oh, hey, David, I know I told you that you the king and you can do what you want to do, right? But Abba said, nah, Solomon, your son, you know, your son going to build this house for him. But I tell you what, you go on and get the materials together. Do that. And I would say he love you for thinking about, oh, wow, I got to go. You know, but, again, training, constant training, adverse positions and conditions that we go through strengthen us. All right. That was the book of Acts. 2 Kings chapter 9 verses 1 through 10. 2 Kings 9 verses 1 through 10. All right, and it reads, verse 1, and Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophets and said unto him, gird up thy loins and take this box of oil in thy hand and go to Ramoth Gilead. So just for anybody who don't know, Elijah or Eliah had a school of prophets. He started the school. He was the head of the school of prophets. He's now off the scene. And now Elishua or Elisha is now the head of that school. Excuse me. Right? So with him being the head of the school, he is now taking one of the students, one of the sons of his prophets, because it wasn't his direct son. This was not a child that came from his loins, right? But the same way, him being the head and they calling him father, that's where that come from. The same way that Shaul talks about, hey, y'all might not have many teachers, but y'all might have many teachers, but y'all have one father. As far as this word goes, I fathered y'all. I brought y'all into this existence, this way of life. I fathered you. Right?
So he tasking one of the children of the prophets to go do this task. And we're going to read, this was a very important task. Right? So verse 2, he says, and when thou comest thither, and giving them very specific instructions. And when you comest thither, look out there, Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him arise up from among his brethren and carry him in an inner chamber. Then take the box of oil and pour it on his head and say, thus saith Yahweh, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Open the door and flee and tarry not. So he's giving this young boy the task of anointing a king, anointing the king of Israel. Why? Because he think he couldn't do it? He think this kid was irresponsible or whatever? No. He gave him specific directions to do, and I know this one is going to get it done. After you go in there and you anoint them, this, that, and another, you leave. Make them rise up, call him, and you get him alone. You don't do this in front of everybody. You call him into the inner chamber. You anoint him, and you tell him, Abba is anointed. Yahweh has anointed you over king of Israel. And then after that, you leave. He didn't give this to the irresponsible one. No. Come here, and you go and you do this one. He didn't give it to the one who he knew, or he thought, his training, he's not there yet. He tasked this to the one that he knew could take care of the job. The one that he believed, hey, look, I know this one can do it. Verse 4. It says, so the young man, the prophet, removed Gilead. And when he came, behold, the captains of the host were sitting, and he said, I have an errand to thee, O captain. And Jehu said, unto which of all of us, who are you looking for? I got something I need to tell you, captain. You need to talk to which one of us? And he said, to thee, O captain, I need to talk to you. And he arose, verse 6. And he arose and went into the house. And he poured the oil on his head and said unto him, thus saith Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, I have anointed thee king over the people of Yahweh, even over Israel. And you shall smite the house of Ahab, thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of Yahweh at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab him that pisses against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha, the son of Ahijah. And the dog shall eat Jezebel in the portion of Jezreel, and there shall be none to bear her. And he opened the door and fled. So he did exactly what he said. We didn't get that part. See? But him being a prophet, that might have been something that Abba put on him right then and there. See? Because the word says,
the word said that Elisha told him to do that thing, anoint him, and run. But we know that a prophet speaks as he is moved by the Spirit. So all this other stuff, we don't know if Elisha told him that, but we don't know if Abba moved on him at that time. But either way, the young man was a prophet, and he did what Abba said do. Elisha knew this man, this young man, wouldn't fail. He had confidence in him. And think about that. This is a young man, and he goes before the captain, Jehu. What is this doing for his for the next time Abba needs to send him out? What is this doing for him? It's building him up, and that's what Abba does with us. He builds us up. We say, little by little, I'm going to build you up. And over time, you are going to be this, you are going to be fully furnished. Over time, you're going to know how to handle any situation that comes up. But we have to give him time. And we have to stick to the plan. And we have to do our part. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 19. Jeremiah, chapter 1, verses 4 through 19. Verse 4, it says, then the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Jeremiah was not here just by happenstance. And us being a chosen people, neither are we. Our existence is beyond, like what my brother said, our existence is beyond that night that daddy and mommy decided to come together. They didn't know the purpose that they were performing and bringing us into this world. They didn't know that they were bringing someone that Abba already knew and picked within this world. It says, verse 6, he says, then said I, ah, Master Yahweh, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Again, this young man, I'm a child. I can't speak. Can't speak on your behalf. I'm a kid. Verse 7. But Yahweh saith unto me, say not I am a child, for you shall go to all that I send you. For you shall go to all that I send you, and whatsoever I command you shall speak. Be not afraid of their faces. There you go. First thing, one of the first things, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Get that mental together. I'm here. Don't be afraid. Just like that father with the son and the ice bath, son, you can do it. Don't be afraid. Don't give up. I got you. And that's all he kept on saying. I got you. Have I ever failed you? Encouraging them and reminding them, I'm always here. I got you. Even the times when you don't think I got you, I got you. You can make it through this. You can make it through this. And the Father is doing that with all of us, encouraging us to, look, don't be afraid. Don't doubt. How many times have been the word, don't doubt, don't doubt, don't doubt. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? But as we keep on growing and as we keep on experiencing Abba, it got to shift. It got to shift. He says, excuse me, verse 8 again. It says, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith Yahweh. Then Yahweh put forth my hand, touched my mouth. And Yahweh said unto me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations. When you pick, you set over the nations. Might not seem like it, but we set over these nations. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down. That's your point. That's root out, pull down, and to destroy and to throw down. Four things of destruction. It says, then you build, and then you plant. So it's just like when you prepare in that garden, you got to root up that garden. You got to dig up that land. You got to get all the weeds out and turn over the land, and you got to prepare it to be built. You got, because you're going to build on this land. You know, and when you talk about the garden, the plant is the building. Your tomatoes, that's what you're building. And even think about what you have to do to this, due to a lot of the soil that you have. You got to add nutrients to the soil. You got to build up the soil so it can support whatever it is you plant. That's the whole point of compost and the fertilizers and stuff like that. You get that into the soil, that way your plant can grow. But what's the point of adding fertilizer to the soil where weeds are? You're building up the weeds also, which is going to choke out your crop. They're going to suck and take away from your crop. So what do you say? Root that up, tear it down, destroy it, get rid of it before you start to build and before you start to plant. That's it, y'all. Verse 11, he says, moreover, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, a rod of an almond tree. Then said Yahweh unto me, thou seest well. Thou hast well seen, but I will hasten my word to perform it. Now, it's another sidebar. That's one of the things that you find within the word, right? Certain things mean certain things. Whenever we're looking at prophecies and this, that, and another, and told our Rabbi Abba for leading us that way, using the word to understand the book of Revelations. Whenever you hear about an omen within prophecy or within the dream, now, it's not that 100% of the time, but an omen means something fast or something quick in a hurry, right? Because an omen, and this is, if you don't believe me, please, first of all, please don't believe me. Look up what an omen does, what an omen is. Almonds are one of the first nuts that you can eat. They spring up quick. They grow really fast, and they come really early in season. That's why he says it's a. That's why he says I'm going to quicken or I'm going to hasten my word. But look up an almond, right? Look up an almond. And this is what you're going to find is exactly what I told you. And you'll find some other stuff too. But as it relates to that, that's why, you know, I've aborted that back of mine. It says, but I will hasten my word to perform it. Another thing. That was one of the things that was on, I have to look this up. But I believe, not going to say it because that's wrong. I think that's wrong. I had to check it out again. Verse 13, he says, and the word of Yahweh came unto me the second time, saying, what seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is towards the north. Then Yahweh saith unto me, out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdom of the north, saith Yahweh, and they shall come, and they shall set everyone his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against the walls thereof round about it, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. You, therefore, gird up your loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command you. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound you before them. You want to be scared of them? Okay, I'm going to make you scared of them. If you're afraid of them, I'm going to leave you in confusion. That's what I'm going to do to you, because that's what you're picking. But I need you not to be afraid. I ain't scared of them. Now I need you to be like me and not be afraid of them. And we see what happened. We have plenty of examples. Nick Cannon, Kyrie Irving. I'm sorry, my bad. Every time these folks stand up to say something for the Most High, it's, you won't take that back. Because they're afraid of their face. And Abba allows them to be confounded. He says, lest I confound thee before them. Verse 18, he says, For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city and an armed pillar and brazen walls against the whole land. You hear that? I'm making you into something that they ain't going to easily break. You are defended. You are a defense city. You got armed pillars and brazen brass walls. Ain't nobody penetrating you.
That's what I'm turning you into. But how can I turn you into that if you don't believe you're that? I know who you are. I know you before you got here. I know what you're capable of. I need you to know what you're capable of. He says, in brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, against the people of the, I don't care who coming at you, they can't stop you. They cannot defend. They cannot break you. Your own people come at you, they lose. Kings come at you, they lose. People of the land, they lose. They all losing against you. Once you see you the way I see you. Verse 19, and they shall fight against you, but they shall not prevail. They're going to fight, but they ain't going to win. But they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith Yahweh, to deliver thee. What they say, the weapon's going to be formed, but they're not going to prosper. What the word say? Submit to Yahweh. You submit to Yahweh. Then you resist the devil. And the devil will flee from you, not from Yahushua in you, from you. Paul, I know. Yahushua, I know. But until we see ourselves how Abba sees us, we'll never get to that level. Last verse, y'all. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. It was another one I wanted to read also. We know this one. Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Master and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of Yah, that you may be able to stand the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, or this is why you take unto you the whole armor of Yah, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So those equipments, there you go. But then you get to verse 16. Above all, yeah, that's some good equipment right there. But this right here, above all, taking the shield of faith, above it all, you might want to, another lesson. above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the... Do you hear that? Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you are able to quench all, not 10%, not, oh yeah, a couple going to get... Mm-mm. If you use that faith, every last dart that the adversary is throwing against you, it will be quenched, extinguished. That's what our faith does for us. But again, we have to understand that Abba sees us a certain way, and we have to have faith in that too. The military don't teach you how to use a rifle so they can shoot the rifle for you. It's so you can shoot your gun. It's your gun. This is your armor. You put this armor on. Why? You are going to be in battle. He says, verse 16 again, I'm sorry. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which ye are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of Yah. All right, then. So again, we have to understand and we have to see us the way I see us. We have to know and understand that Abba has picked us for this task because he knows we can do it. He knows and he understands that. Again, we also have to be patient with the process. But one of the things that we cannot continue to do is keep yelling we're weak. We have to start professing this strength. We have to start believing and understanding what Abba sees in us. He knows we're strong. He knows we're... That's why he picked us. We have to start using that faith, using that spirit, using the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Something we're going to talk about a little bit later on also. That he has given to us, we control it. It is subject to us. So therefore, when we ask it to do something, it does it. But we have to use it and to learn, to utilize and learn all the functions of it. You know, it's sort of like, you know, these phones that we get and these gadgets that we get. It's a lot of things that these gadgets and phones can do, but if we, you know, they have things within the instruction manual. It tells us this, it tells us that, but a lot of times we don't read the instruction manual and we learn by trial and error. Where if we just read the instruction manual, it'll tell us all these different functions. So we'll go through and we'll have these gadgets for years and didn't know that we could do this and we can do that. And, oh, that's how you do that? Oh, wow, I never would have known that. I didn't know that. So if you read the instruction manual,
you would have known. Well, Abba is giving us this, on-the-job training. So you see, son, use my spirit in this way. Use my spirit in that way. My spirit can do this. My spirit can do that. And that's all you got to do is learn how to use it. Because you're strong. And on top of that, I've strengthened you. All right? The word, this the last one. Let me find this one. First John chapter 3. We're going to start with, you're going to read. Read verse 1 and 2. First John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. First Yohukanon. Chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1, it reads, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of Yah. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. The love that he calls us his sons, the love that he has for us, this is the confidence that he has in us." Verse 2, it says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of Yah." Right now, we are the sons of Yah. "And it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We are the sons of Yah right now. But it don't nobody know that. And a lot of times it don't even appear like that to us. To ourselves, we don't appear like the sons of Yah. We can't see it. But it has to come a point when we push past that. When we are and we do see ourselves as the sons of Yah. Nothing more, nothing less. And when we see that, then these demons will start saying, "Yahushua, I know. Deuel, I know. Yaka'el, I know. Bet Yahweh, I know. Yisrael, I know." And I don't want it with them. They will flee from us. Abba believes in us. We have to believe in ourselves. All right? If you have any questions or comments about anything, stick them on the line, y'all. Stick them on the line. You know, we love to talk and bring clarity of the word. All right? So with that being said, we're going to go to the benediction and close in prayer. Excuse me. "Blessed are you, Yahushua, King of the universe, Rock of all eternities, righteous in all generations, the trustworthy mighty one, who says and does, who speaks and fulfills, all of whose words are true and righteous. Trustworthy are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, and trustworthy are your words. Not one of your words is turned back to its origin unfulfilled, but you are mighty one, trustworthy and compassionate King. Are you, Yahushua, the mighty one, who is trustworthy in all his words." Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Abba Yah, in the name of thy son, Yahushua HaMashiach, we thank you once again for the Shabbat day. We ask, Abba, that you forgive us for all our sins and that you hear our prayer. Abba, I don't know the young man's name, but our brother Baruch, who's young fella, going through issues, going through problems. I forgot to say the prayer for him, Abba, but forgive me for that. But you know what he's going through, and we ask that you ease his mind. We ask, Abba, that you bring joy to him on the Shabbat. We ask, Abba, that you fill him up and allow him to hear your word and impart your wisdom and your understanding on him. And whatever it is that he's going through right now, you just let him know that you're there. Make your presence known to him, Abba. He is to be a sheep into this fold. Bring him on in, because we know you're not going to lose one. We know what you're capable of, Abba. We ask that you make it known in his life. Abba, we thank you for your healing, Abba. Got a picture of my Ema that brought joy to my heart. I can't wait to get my hug from my Ema. Continue to strengthen her. Continue to strengthen her. Sister Chomi. Continue to strengthen everyone who is hurting mentally, physically. Our sister Danielle, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, Abba. Allow us, Abba, and show us how to use your spirit, Abba. Lead us and guide us. Allow us to become masters of it. Allow us. You said that whatever your word, and you said in your word that whatever we ask in your name, we'll get. If we do, that's all we have to do is believe and show faith and put forth that effort. This flesh hinders us sometimes, but Abba, allow us to power through. Allow us to desire you more than anything. Allow us to keep that eye, our eyes on the prize, which is you, which is that kingdom. Continue to bless us. Continue to heal us. Continue to show us your word, Abba. Continue to grow us and keep us. Continue to protect us throughout the week and continue to protect our young ones. Don't let them fall victim to this world. Abba, we just ask that you continue to love us, continue to suffer with us, Abba, showing us your mercies and giving us your correction, like a loving father always does. We ask all these things in your son, Yahushua HaMashiach, our Savior, our Redeemer, our soon coming King. Amen. Shabbat shalom, fam. Lay your burdens down.
rise and breathe in. Those chants of freedom you're ringing across the sea. Land of milk and honey. One day we'll wake up from this dream and we'll stop sleeping. Oh, yeah, yeah.